And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is prophetic power in the Word of God. You know, two of the greatest passages of prophetic scripture are Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. Revelation 13 pictures a great beast rising up out of the sea. That was the vision given by the apostle, given to the apostle John. And that is the very first verse of Revelation 13. Later, in that same chapter of Scripture, it talks about a second beast rising up out of the earth. And then the momentous era is chronicled in which all people on the face of this planet will be required to take a mark or the name or the number of the beast, which is 666. The beast rising up out of the sea, empowered by Satan, the dragon and serpent. And the whole world wandered after him and worshiped him, except those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. What a momentous passage of Scripture. Think of the imagery here. A great beast rising up, forcing people to worship Satan, the dragon who gives this beast all of his power. In my new book, Mysterious Monuments, I talk about this beast. In fact, the very cover of my book portrays the beast of Revelation 13, verse 1. I want to talk about that today because I am an American citizen. I'm proud of our country. It may be the best of all nations of the earth, but that's simply my opinion. It has a great history, an illustrious past. But what is its future, given the fact that from the beginning of its foundations, our so-called founding fathers seeded a destiny for this country which is totally opposite the righteous path that God would have preferred? In my book, Mysterious Monuments, the very first page of text, I present readers with a riddle, with a mystery. And it has to do with Washington, D.C., our nation's history, which is, in fact, the Illuminati city of mystery of the whole world. I want to read it to you because I'd like to get you thinking about it for just a few moments. I would like for you to cooperate with me. I'm your friend. We're a team. I consider each of you who listen to Power of Prophecy my good friend. We all work together on the same team. We're staff members of Power of Prophecy Ministries. I'm no different than you. We're all in this together. We're hurtling through space, through time, on this green planet, watched over, monitored by God, but also marauded and plundered by Satan. We each of us, you and I, have a mission. In Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that God has arranged the path wherein we might meet this vision, this mission. He has arranged the things we are to do in advance. A lot of people don't know that, but the steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. Life is not circumstance. Even Albert Einstein said God that did not play dice with the universe. Everything is ordered. Everything is mathematical. The hairs on your head are counted. God knows of every one of them. And it's interesting, however, that it says also in the scriptures that as far as Satan is concerned, he also knows about you. And he has accounted the people of this planet as nothing more than lambs fit for slaughter. But to God, you are an individual, a person. He treats you not as a collective, but as a person. He knows each person's heart, each man or woman, and he offers you a great gift of salvation. But it seems that our founding fathers, most of them, not all of them, decided against this offer of God and chose to follow the Freemasonic great architect of the universe, which is Lucifer. And thus we have the architecture of our nation's capital, which I expose in abundance in my book, Mysterious Monuments. And I want to read to you the beginning of the text right after the title page. It is entitled, "And the Whole World Plunged into Darkness." We begin, "And the citizens of the New Rome made a statue of the beast that had risen up out of the sea. And they built a fountain and crafted figures of two heralds announcing the glorious coming of the beast, and sculpted the image of an angry sea-spitting serpent which accompanied the beast and from which he drew his fearsome power. And they set the statue of the beast in the fountain before the colossal library in which they deposited the stores of wisdom they had accumulated. And they fashioned a likeness of the woman who was wife of the beast, and they placed it atop the dome of their capital building. And they laid out the streets in front of their capital in the form of a star, to honor the woman and inspire devotion to the beast. And they erected a towering obelisk monument in the midst thereof, which represents the phallus of the beast and his generative powers and his seed, which was able to impregnate the woman. And the proud citizens of the great city celebrated their awesome victory and marked the glorious founding of the new order of the ages. And the whole world plunged into darkness." This is the centerpiece of Satan. Washington, D.C., Illuminati City of Mystery. But today we're going to dissipate, we're going to dissolve some of the mystery and reveal some of the secrets of Satan deposited in this great city of the nation, the United States, which was destined to become the world's greatest superpower. A nation which brought together peoples, tribes, ethnic groups, bloodlines from all around the world and made them one. And set up again the ancient nation of Israel and assisted it in battering and plundering and murdering the surrounding people of that nation of Israel. And gave it great sums of money and great stores of weapons so that it could indeed conquer the surrounding peoples thereof. Somebody wrote me a letter today and they said, "Tex, would you not admit that Israel is God's chosen people after all? Look at all the wars they have won against their Arab neighbors. Look at the prosperity of Israel as compared to their poor neighbors." Well, first of all, they're not as rich as the Arabs who live in Kuwait, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, the Arab Emirates, or Saudi Arabia. Those nations with all their oil riches are even richer than the people of Israel. But how did Israel get this prosperity and prominence? Did it not do so because America has given the nation of Israel and the Jews over $1 trillion since 1948? We have denuded and taken away from the taxpayers of America and given them to the few million people who live in Israel so that they may have skyscrapers and huge new buildings and corporations and bikini-clad girls laying on the sunny beaches of Israel, so that they may have armaments, submarines with nuclear missiles, and 400 nuclear bombs, all provided courtesy of the United States of America. Well, it's easy to have miracles when you have the world's only remaining superpower as your great benefactor. I mean, you know, if Rockefeller or Rothschild took you under their wings and gave you billions of dollars, I suppose you could build your own nice little estate and home and republic. And that's what we've done. Somebody told me, said, I visited the Palestinians and they were so poor and destitute. And then I went over into Tel Aviv and they looked so prosperous. Must be that the Jews are more smart than the Palestinians. Must be that they're more educated. Must be that they're more talented. No, it's money, money, money from the United States, you idiot. Well, oh my goodness gracious. The goal of those who planted the seeds of Illuminism in Washington, D.C. was to create, to generate a new paradise on this planet to be led by Lucifer's man. Actually, the reincarnated sun god of ancient Egypt and Babylon. They want to create a satanic utopia. But Michael Hoffman, a friend of mine who wrote the excellent book Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, wrote, quote, "The path to hell on earth is trod by the path to utopia." It's been my experience that those who wish to set up empires do so with bloody methods. All the empire builders throughout history have become bloody tyrants over time. The Caesars of Rome, Attila the Hun, the Pharaohs of Egypt, up to today and more recently, Lenin and Stalin and Soviet Russia and Hitler and Germany and so on and so on. We don't like to think of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison as adherents and followers of some ancient mystery religion from Egypt, Babylon, Rome, or Greece, but that's what they were. In my book, Mysterious Monuments, I show you the grave sites. You know, sometimes you can tell something from a grave site. Wanda and I, when I first met Wanda, she was living in Tucson, Arizona, and she said to me, would you like to go on a little day trip with me, Tex, to the town of Tombstone, Arizona? I said, sure. We went to Tombstone, sort of an interesting place, old western town, and they had, you know, a very colorful graveyard there, cemetery. And everybody, you know, here lies old Black Bart, and here lies, you know, this outlaw, or that outlaw, or this good guy or whatever, you know, and some of the epitaphs written on it were quite humorous and sort of told you a story about the people of old Western days Tombstone. You know, there's some people when they go visit a city, they go visit the cemeteries. They say you can learn a lot from the cemeteries in a town. I know I went to New Orleans and somebody said, Tex, if you really want to know New Orleans and its history, go down to the cemeteries. I went down to the cemetery. I don't usually do that kind of thing, but they actually gave tours of the cemeteries. And boy, did I learn a lot. I learned about the occultic voodoo satanic nature of New Orleans, Louisiana. My goodness gracious. Yeah, you can learn a lot from the dead, or at least the stones they've left behind. What do you find when you go to Thomas Jefferson and James Madison's graves? You find a towering Egyptian obelisk, sign of the sun god. In fact, it was the phallus of the sun god. What do you find when you go to George Washington's tomb or mausoleum at Mount Vernon, his estate? You find two great obelisks and the Egyptian queen's palace in miniature. Oh, that's right, an Egyptian mausoleum with obelisk and all is where our nation's first president, George Washington, was laid. Now, I want to talk to you for the rest of the time today about this architecture of Washington, D.C. And I want you to understand that I am a proud American. I love this country. And there were those who refused to participate in the satanic, Illuminist, Freemasonic cults of that day. John Adams was not a Mason. He was our nation's second president. His son, John Quincy Adams, not only refused to participate, but exposed Freemasonry and said it was indeed a Luciferian religion. And it was a danger to the American Republic. Patrick Henry refused to join these secret cults. Remember Patrick Henry? He was the one that said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He considered the founding of America, at least the Constitution that these people promulgated, as treachery and a betrayal of the American Revolution. And if it were not for some good Christian men and women, we would not have our Bill of Rights, because the aristocracy who gave us the Constitution of the United States did not have a Bill of Rights in it. It had to be added on. Why do you think it's called the Ten Amendments to the Constitution? The original Constitution had no freedoms and liberties prescribed for you and me, but there were people, good Christian people, good patriotic, freedom-loving people, who said no to the aristocrats in America. They knew this was a Rothschild plot. A lot of people don't think about that. But ask your congressman someday when he comes back and visits your county or your town or your village. Hey, why did they have to add 10 amendments to the original Constitution? Oh, well, they did that to make sure they provided you, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble and petition. Well, why didn't they do that in the original Constitution? Why did they have to add it on afterwards? It wasn't there in the first place. It wasn't intended. And ever since, the Illuminati have sought to bypass, go around, or destroy the 10 amendments to the Constitution. They were odious and distasteful. James Madison said, "Well, I really don't think they're needed, but looks like we're not going to get our Constitution passed by the people unless we agree to add 10 amendments to it." Yeah, you're right, Mr. Madison. And by the way, Madison was known as a bribe taker. He took many thousands of dollars from Haim Solomon, the agent of Rothschild. Some of these people whom we worship like almost like gods today, America's founders, were demigods, not men of God at all. Now, probably the most prominent site in Washington, D.C. is that huge 555-foot-tall Washington Monument. I've already told you that in my book, Mysterious Monuments, I picture the tomb or mausoleum of Washington, and it's absolutely of Egyptian origins. Now we have an Egyptian obelisk. What does it represent? It is the Washington Monument. What's that all about? Of course, I'll tell you what it's about. It represents the phallus, the sex organ of the sun god, who in Egypt was called Osiris. The Greeks called him Zeus. The sun god. And it's planted in the earth, because the earth represents the great goddess. And that's why the ancient Brits believed in the green goddess. In fact, I believe you, there's even some kind of a salad dressing called the green goddess. And her mate, of course, was, you know, the great green giant, the jolly green giant, the green man. Oh, there's a lot of truths to these ancient legends and tales, my dear friends. Now, what we have then is the phallus of the sun god. The sun god who is up in the heavens somewhere. Because after all, does not the Holy Bible say that Satan is the prince of the power of the air? But he's also under the earth down in a place called hell. And the book of Revelation says that at a certain time, at the end of history, an angel will be given a key to the pit that lies beneath the earth, evidently, and the door will be opened to that dungeon, and out will come millions of devils. And the Bible says in Revelation they have a leader appointed over them. And in the Hebrew tongue, his name is Abaddon. And in the Greek tongue or language, his name is Apollyon. A great God in the sky, but a great God below. Two gods? Well, one God comes from the sky, metaphorically or allegorically, and he falls into the sea. The ancients taught that in the mystery religions. And he rises up out of the sea. He was the great half man, half fish god. This may sound strange to you, but again, we have an image here of Satan being cast out of heaven and falling into the sea and rising up and coming to land. The ancient Philistines worshipped exactly that god. They call him Dagon. D-A-G-O-N. And when one of the kings of Israel, Samuel, was slain, the Philistines cut off his head, put it on a silver platter, and brought it into their temple of Dagon. They sacrificed the king of Israel to their fish god, who came up out of the sea, the beast who rose up out of the sea. He came from the heavens, though. You say that's an impossibility. That sounds like some hocus pocus. Wait, dear friends, before you call something hocus pocus, because Jesus Christ said of Satan or Lucifer, he said, I beheld Lucifer or Satan like lightning fall from heaven. He was cast down from heaven, and perhaps he landed in the sea. And his goddess also came up from the sea. She was called Aphrodite, Venus. Shell Petroleum Company, Shell Oil, Shell gas stations display her symbol. Drive by and see one of their stations, the great golden shell, the golden goddess, who rises up out of the sea. The legends of the mermaid came from that very tale. The Pope of Rome took the titles that were once bequeathed to Dagon. And even today he wears the great headdress of Dagon, the fish god. Look at some pictures and you'll see the fish's head with the mouth open. That's a huge, towering Dagon-like headdress on top of the Pope's head of Rome. Beast that rises up out of the sea. And the front cover of my book shows this same beast rising up out of the sea. It is the Sea of Chaos, which in Washington, D.C. is created or designed as a fountain of waters. Now, this great fountain with this great naked, muscular, green, horned beast rising up actually sits right in front of the Library of Congress, one of the most ornate and magnificent buildings in our nation's capital. It's on the cover of my book. When I saw this many years ago, and I saw this great fountain on my visit to Washington, D.C., I could scarcely believe my eyes. The beast that rises up out of the sea, Revelation 13, verse 1, stands in front of the Library of Congress, which is considered the repository of the collective wisdom of the American people for more than 200 years. And the same great fountain preceding him, going before him, in other words, coming up out of the waters, is a great, vicious, spitting sea serpent who guides him and leads the beast. And on each side of him are heralds blowing conch shells, horns. And what are they heralding? They're heralding the emergence, the arrival, the coming of the great beast. And in what city does this fountain sit again? Washington, D.C. And in what state is the city of Washington situated? Well, there is no state. They took a little bit of Maryland and they took a little bit of Virginia and made something called the District of Columbia. Now, I want you to consider that Virginia was named after the Great Virgin, the goddess. Some say Mary is that same goddess. And the state of Maryland was named after Mary, also the Virgin. They took from these two states the land, and they created a District of Columbia. But from where do we get the name Columbia? Well, that's another name for the goddess. And if many of you have seen the movies produced by Columbia Movie Studios, you'll know of their great logo that precedes each movie. What is it? A great goddess in a flowing Roman robe stands with a great torch in her hand. Columbia! Hail, Columbia! It's the district of the great goddess of the mystery religions, Isis. She was called in Egypt. Semiramis. And by other names in Babylon. And then even more names in Rome and Greece. And on over to Japan, where she was called Amaterasu. And then down in Central and South America, they worshipped a goddess. In China, she was called Kuan Yin. And who is she? She's the mistress of Satan. She's the goddess of America. And she stands atop our U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. This is Tex Mars. We're discussing Washington, D.C., Illuminati City of Mystery. Stay with us. We've got a lot more when we return here on Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. You know, this book, Mysterious Monuments, is definitely the most important book I have ever written and produced. It's 624 pages. Huge book. It is an encyclopedia. In fact, the subtitle is Encyclopedia of Secret Illuminati Designs, Masonic Architecture, and Occult Places. I hope you'll get a copy of this book. It has over 875 photos and illustrations. 875, and it's based on an intense, very intense, 22 years of research and investigation. And I have visited many of these sites, many of these mysterious monuments, and you know, every once in a while you go in the book, you'll find a little picture of me somewhere there in front of one of the monuments or inside one of them, surveying it, studying it. And with each of these monuments, you not only have a picture, but you have given a description and an understanding of what it means in terms of the occult destiny and plan for the United States of America. Oh, they have a destiny for this country, and you won't like it when you read about it. And it seems to me that it's being fulfilled by the traitorous officials and bureaucrats and politicians in today's Washington, D.C. And why shouldn't they be such devil men? After all, they're operating in a city that I call the Illuminati's City of Mystery, Washington, D.C., an occult, a Masonic, a satanic city. But, of course, it is not only Washington, D.C. I take you on a trip to ancient Egypt and Babylon, down into Central and South America, over to China, to Canada, to Africa. Amazing 21st century travel. And you'll find that these incredible sites of mysterious monuments are rising right now this year. This day, we're not talking about the pyramids of King Tut in ancient Egypt or the Tower of Babel that was built by Nimrod and Semiramis. We're talking about Towers of Babel rising today in the Middle East. We're talking about pyramids being built on the streets of Israel today. And on the Mississippi River in Memphis, Tennessee. And even the North American Union pyramids in Princeton, West Virginia. And the Luxor pyramid in Las Vegas, Nevada. You'll see amazing sights. You will not believe your eyes when you see these things. An architectural colossus of immense proportions is going up around this world being built by Satan. They are building the great architect, they call him, their God. They call themselves the builders. And they are building a new world that will be alien to anything that you and I can imagine. From where do they get such a vision? It comes from, dare I say it, hell. They themselves say that in that other world, the dark, sinister world that you and I cannot see, but by some form of special sight, they can see and peer into that universe of devils. Friends, I don't even want to see it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to travel with my imagination and some kind of extra sight, some kind of a sixth sense. I don't want to go into those dark tunnels of doom. But they do. There's some people, my friends, who simply have a blood taste for the mysteries of the devil. There are. You know it. You know that some of these teenagers and young people into the goth lifestyle, into the vampirism, you know that these people are perverted and depraved. They don't think like you and I do, and nor do the very rich elitist men of the Illuminati. The men who actually are higher in status than Dick Cheney and George Bush could ever even imagine themselves to be. And they're the ones spending hundreds of billions of dollars to build brand new monuments, statues, skyscrapers, buildings, towers across this world. And in the 21st century, this architectural colossus is escalating. It's rising fast. They've got plans. They're regenerating the planet, and they're ready for their great Messiah. And I want to tell you something, friends. Even in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital, there is a crypt under the Capitol building. Way down in the basement, I have discovered. And there they have a great stone sarcophagus, and it's empty. What's it for then? What would a great coffin or casket, a sarcophagus, be doing in a crypt under the rotunda of the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C., that great dome, atop of which, of course, is the great goddess, the mistress of Satan. And in that crypt is this great sarcophagus, the stone sarcophagus. And the tour guide, if you're fortunate enough to be taken down deep underground into that crypt, will tell you there is no person in it at all. I believe the reason for that is because of the significance. The symbolic significance is that the great Osiris, the great sun god, will be rising once again. He will be coming up from the depth of the earth, Abaddon, Apollyon, or just two of his names. And he will rise up from the depths of the earth, from that, spiritually, from that empty stone sarcophagus. And he will take the helm of the greatest nation on earth, the United States, whose destiny is to rule the world in a Zionist-led new world order of the ages. You say, Tex, you have a fantastic imagination. 875 photos and 624 pages is not my imagination. It's documented proof and evidence. And I want you to have this book, $35. It's about the size of three regular books, so please don't tell me it's expensive. By the time we produce it, it costs about as much as a big book just to produce, believe me. You've got to have this book. Now, I want to warn you. If you're like some people, you just take a book and a couple of days you've read it and it's over with and you're finished with a book. Well, don't think so. Don't think. Some people, some of the most intelligent men I know say, I've read this book and I keep reading it over and over and over. And every caption beneath every picture, every word is important in this book. It's the most incredible book people are telling me they've ever seen in their life. Discover the meaning of all of these occult symbols, occult shapes, Masonic architecture, occult designs, and the goal of the Illuminati all in one book. You'll know everything about 9/11, the hoax of 9/11, and everything that's going on in the world and the Middle East from the plot and the conspiracy that's outlined in this book. And it's written in stone. In architecture. And it has to do with more than just Earth. It has to do with all the planets and the stars that exist in this great galaxy and universe. It is an amazing story revealed for the first time in Mysterious Monuments. $35. Please add $4 for shipping and handling. We send it out to you in a nice little box. It's too big to even go in an envelope. Or a great big mailing package thing. So we have to send it out in a nicely designed box. We shrink wrap it so it won't get all broken up and all that. It comes to you nice and fresh. And you'll have one of the most important books ever produced in your lifetime. I promise you that. And I'll tell you something else too. The last 7 or 8 pages of this book are the best. Because after discovering over 600 pages of what the devil's plan is, I just decided to tell people what God has intended for you and me and this earth. That's right. I decided to tell you. You may be surprised because it has to do with some wrecking and some demolishing that's going to take place. God has a little team of carpenters. You know, even Jesus was born the son of a carpenter. Oh, there's some fantastic prophetic meaning in that one, dear friends. The son of a carpenter in the flesh, but he's no carpenter anymore. But he is sending four great angels, carpenters. It's prophesied in the book of Zechariah. Oh, that would take a whole nother show, though, another program to tell you about that. But you can read about it in Mysterious Monuments, the work of these four carpenters. I talked to a pastor friend of mine. I said, have you ever considered the work of the four carpenters of the book of the prophetic book of Zechariah? He said, I've never heard of such a thing. I said, now, John, his name is John. John, you got to read that. He said, where's that at again? I said, the book of Zechariah. Four horns and four carpenters. And they got a mission from God. And Zechariah said, Lord, what have these come to do? And God said, well, I'll tell you what they're going to do. Well, I'm not going to tell you today on this program. I'm going to let you just research it for yourself. But I'm telling you, you don't want to be in the way of these four carpenters. They don't build things. They tear it up. You say, well, God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't destroy things. There's some things that he's going to destroy. In fact, Jesus said that he came to destroy the works of the devil. God builds up and he takes down too. Oh, yes. There's some projects that are just reclamation projects, and you got to tear it down before you can build it up. I'll leave you with that mystery. $39 postpaid. Mysterious Monuments. Encyclopedia of Secret Illuminati Designs, Masonic Architecture, and Occult Places. Hey, it's also available powerofprophecy.com, our website, or even mysteriousmonuments.com. See, we've got an entire new website just for this book. Mysteriousmonuments.com or our regular website, powerofprophecy.com. You may be listening to this program right now on powerofprophecy.com. You probably are. Or maybe conspiracyworld.com, a third website. Jerry Barrett, our website director here, he keeps pretty busy. Let me tell you, he's talking about a builder. Jerry, you're a builder, aren't you? Yeah, he's the builder. I'll tell you, a little bit of an architect too, I believe, from what I've seen. But he's not the Masonic architect, at least we know that for certain. Well, let's return to our regular program. By the way, our address, I need to give him that. No, Jerry, he's pointing to me over here. Wait just a minute, Tex. Okay. Our address to get this book, $39, is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Got a pencil and paper? Let me give it to you again. Power of Prophecy. Again, the book is Mysterious Monuments, $39. It's only been out about 2 months now. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson. We've been here now over a dozen years. Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We like to call it the Republic of Texas. By the way, you can phone us during the work week, Monday through Friday. We're here Central Time, 8 to 5:30. A very pleasant person will talk to you. And I want to remind you, when you order a book, when you order anything, we keep extending your free newsletter. You don't even have to ask for it. We're going to give it to you free. And by the way, if you're going to change your address, would you please let us know? A lot of times we send newsletters to you and they come back returned. And the little old postman says, you know, give us a dollar. This was a wrong address. They charge us for wrong addresses. And plus, we have to find it many times. So would you be so kind? Just call us on our toll-free number and let us know when you move so we can make sure your next newsletter gets to the correct address. So when you move, do call us or to order book this book, Mysterious Monuments. And again, it is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. And now we're going to return and we're going to be talking again about Washington, D.C., the Illuminati city of mystery. And we're solving some mysteries today. I was talking to you about the great goddess who sits atop the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Of course, it's designed as a great Greco-Roman temple, a Greek temple. Thomas Jefferson called it the Temple of the People. David Overson is really very pro-occult, pro-astrology, but he's written an interesting book called The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. I read the book. I was very impressed by David Overson. The foreword to his book, or introduction, I guess you could call it, was written by the Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, who said he found the book very interesting himself. Overson says that Washington, D.C. is actually the city of the great goddess, and that everywhere you go, you will find zodiacs, astrological symbols, all related to Virgo, one of the, you know, great signs of the zodiac. He says, by all of this architecture, by all of these zodiacs that are hidden in stone, in plain sight, unfortunately, or fortunately, he says, by this means, the zodiacal power of Virgo, which was called in later Masonic circles the Beautiful Virgin, was able to stamp her benign influence on the building of the federal city. She influenced the building of the federal city. I start off chapter 11 in my book, which is entitled The Collective Wisdom of America, The Sea Beast and Serpent Presiding at the Library of Congress. I start off with this paragraph, because this has great meaning. I write, quote, the federal system officially began on June the 15th, 1800, numerologically interpreted as 666. Now, how did I come up with that number? Very easy. June is the sixth month of the year. The 15th, in numerology, you add the 1 and 5 together, you have the number 6. The number 1800, you do not count the zeros in occult numerology, because that the zero stands for the seed of the sun god, and that's always kept separate. So you have 18. That in itself is 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. The federal system, the Washington, D.C. city, the bureaucrats opened their offices to the public, according to the historians, on a date numerologically coded as 666. It became the new seat of government on that day for the fledgling new American public. But yet, still to come was the great statue of the goddess, astrologically Virgo, which was erected 60 years later, again 6. They waited 60 years. Meanwhile, the great Capitol building that they had built, the dome on it had a flat altar or pedestal. And it was without anything. There was nothing on it. I have many pictures of the Capitol building, but visitors said, well, it's missing something. There's a big flat surface on right on top, right at the middle of the dome. What does that mean? And some insiders perhaps let them in on the little secret that in an astrologically and numerologically correct time would come the great goddess, Virgo. And in fact, she did, the great star goddess, because she was called the star goddess. And it was in the year 1860, again, astrologically, numerologically, coded 666, 1860, that the statue that was sculpted in the nation of Italy and brought across by freighter up the Potomac River, it was hoisted with a huge crane and made of wood and brought atop the dome of the Capitol building. The Capitol building has three parts. It's a tri tripartite structure. Because in the great capital of the city of Rome and throughout the Etruscan cities of the Etruscan province of Italy, the Capitoline building always had three parts. They represented the Trinity of the ancient mystery religions. The Father God, who represented the Son, the Goddess, who represented both the Earth and the Moon, and then finally their Son, the Son who comes from the sex act, the holy sex act between the Goddess and the God. He comes and he finally rules the whole world. The Greeks call him Apollo. The Egyptians called him Horus. He whored with his mother, and that's why they call him Horus. After his father was killed, and there's a long legend to that, he married his own mother. The gods were incestual of Rome and Greece and Egypt and so forth. Now, when you ask the name of the great goddess atop the capital, you will not get an answer. She is simply called nebulously and hazily the Statue of Freedom. Oh, yes, the goddess offers you freedom. Freedom from what God? Freedom from the one true God. That's what the Satanists believe is freedom. Liberty to them is to be free from the shackles that they believe the God of the Bible places on mankind. So you see, friends, we have a great goddess over America. She's been repeated many times in buildings across this country, usually on top of the dome, which represents the great pregnant belly and the breast of the goddess, both. Atop the capital of the state of Texas, she stands with a star in her hand. But on at least 15 or 20 other state capitals, you will find the great goddess. But that's not all. She is on in the front of federal courthouses and county courthouses, and she stands out in, on the lawn of buildings, and especially federal buildings and postal centers across this nation. She is the goddess of America. She stands in the harbor of New York City, that great green goddess, who is the mate and consort and mistress of the great green god that comes up from the sea. That's in front of the Library of Congress. A great green goddess is called the Statue of Liberty. There again, liberty from the true God. Now, you have to understand that it's not only the goddess and the God and the phallus of the God in the Washington Monument and the empty stone sarcophagus down in the crypt underneath the goddess. That's right. He is deposited under the goddess. Because the dome and the rotunda there, as it's called, also represents her great womb. And deep inside her womb shall come the one that they call the golden boy. But we call him the Antichrist. By the way, this golden boy is portrayed on the temple of the Mormons in Salt Lake City. He stands atop it. They gave him the name Moroni. Moroni. He was an angel, a golden angel, who came and gave the tablets to Joseph Smith to found the that has all the wisdom that helped Joseph Smith to found the Mormon church. Oh, sure. The golden boy. In Winnipeg, Canada, their provincial capital, atop it, atop the dome, is a great statue of the golden boy. In front of the Rockefeller building, in a fountain there, is Prometheus, another version of the golden boy at the Rockefeller Center. And New York City. And by the way, the AT&T building outside of New York City in New Jersey across the river there. The AT&T building was built by architect Philip Johnson to be exactly 666 foot tall, and the statue standing at the front of it, at the top of it, is of the great golden boy with wings. And he has in his hand a thunderbolt, actually two thunderbolts, designed like the X, which was the sign of Osiris, the great sun god of Egypt. Now, I want you to understand that the Freemasons and many of the other secret societies, such as the Order of Skull and Bones, are nothing more than members of a hideous sex and religious cult. And even the streets of Washington, D.C. display their symbols, not to mention all of the statuaries and carvings and artwork at the Library of Congress, even the U.S. Supreme Court. There's a huge stone frieze on the exterior of the United States Supreme Court building of a serpent overcoming a man. A serpent wrapped around and overcoming a man. On the Capitol building, on the exterior, on the pediment, you will find goddesses as well, including the goddess Athena. Inside the National Statuary Hall of the House of Representatives, you will find another goddess, and you'll find a serpent beside her. She's the serpent goddess, of course. Now, it should be understood that the streets themselves of Washington, D.C. are laid out. They were laid out by the original designer and architect, Pierre Lafond, who was supervised by Thomas Jefferson and somewhat distant George Washington. And they're laid out in the form of a satanic pentagram star that represents the goddess. That begins right at the U.S. Capitol and fans out. And very clearly in Mysterious Monuments, I show you this satanic pentagram laid out in the street. But if you look closer in the streets of Washington, D.C., you will also see the design of the six-pointed star, the Rothschild hexagram. And in fact, if you look a little closer, you'll even find the Owl of Minerva, the great owl goddess or god of the Bohemian Grove secret order. All of this in Washington, D.C. And of course, all the buildings are designed as Roman temples and Greek structures and so forth, including, by the way, the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, which is designed exactly according to the model of the Pantheon, where they worshipped all of the gods in ancient city of Rome. This is the new Rome. The goddess is there. The ancient mystery religion God is there. His phallus is there. The stone sarcophagus of the coming sun is there. But in all things, I want to tell you, my friends, none of this takes us by surprise. It's prophesied in the Holy Scriptures to occur. None of it takes us by surprise. The Apostle Paul said, "For we, that is Christians, are not ignorant of the devices of the devil." This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to another program, World of Prophecy. Boy, that was our old name many, many years ago. Jerry, he's over here in the studio. Power of Prophecy. Tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.